Let's open our Bibles, Daniel chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse 16. We've been going through a series on Sunday morning entitled Great Statements of Faith, and that's what we want to look at this morning in chapter 3 of Daniel. And verse 18 is a great statement of faith made by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I've entitled the lesson, Profound Worship in the Midst of Adversity, Profound Worship in the Midst of Adversity. Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the furnace. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak of anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to have the Word of God before us. We're thankful that we can read it, Lord, and contemplate what is being said. Give us an understanding heart, Lord, of the story that is presented to us. But beyond that, Lord, help us to be able to grab a hold of this great statement of faith that these three Hebrew children were to hang on to, Lord, and declare in the midst of a multitude of heathen. And I pray, Lord, that we might be strong in the Lord, Lord, that we might not compromise in our testimony, Lord, that we would have continual profound worship, even in the midst of controversy and adversaries. And I pray, Lord, there's someone here this morning who's never been saved. I pray, Lord, you'd touch their hearts and they would come, receive Christ as their Savior. We praise you, Lord. Speak to us now in Jesus' name, amen. Our text verse is verse 18, says, But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What a great statement of faith in the midst of adversity. knowing that they still are going to worship the true and living God, irregardless of the confrontation they find themselves in as this golden image is erected by King Nebuchadnezzar. A little bit of historical background getting to this point. Jerusalem is under besieged by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in chapter 1 of Daniel. Literally, in chapter 1, it tells us that when Israel was overrun by Babylon, that they took the well-favored children of Israel and took them captive back into the land of the Chaldeans into Babylon. And because they were well-favored, the focus and the intention was to train those children who were showing greater wisdom than others in the ways of the Chaldeans. And when you talk about the world, you talk about the Christian, the world is always after our children to try to train them in the ways of this world. The challenge that we have as believers is to find ourselves separated from the world and not consumed with the things of the world, nor being molded by the things of the world. So these three children, Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are taken away out of their homeland into the Babylon. In the course of time, we read of Daniel also being taken, and Daniel refused to take of the king's table, and as a result of that, he did this as a challenge to prove his God, and he would be found with greater wisdom and greater understanding than all the other counselors and advisors underneath of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and when he has this dream, no one can interpret his dream except for Daniel. And so Daniel comes and interprets the dream, and when he interprets it, there is a response of King Nebuchadnezzar to the interpretation, and there's a request that is made by Daniel when he interprets the dream. That's found in chapter 2 of Daniel in verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Now it's amazing that Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that in chapter 2 and verse 47. We get in chapter 3, he's telling Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to abandon and turn their back on that God. So that's a response of Nebuchadnezzar when Daniel interpreted his dream. The request of Daniel is in verse 49, says, "Then Daniel requested the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king." And so Daniel interprets his dream, and as he interprets his dream, he responds to that, acknowledging the God of Daniel as the true God. And then so Daniel says, "Well, wait a minute, I want you to exalt and put in a position of leadership these friends of mine, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And he does that and puts them over different provinces in Babylon. However, chapter 3 is the controversy. Chapter 3 reveals to us the controversy that arises because of the problem that is stated here, that the king erects a golden image and requires of everyone to bow down to that image. However, the position that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego take is one that they refuse to serve the gods of Babylon, and they refuse to bow down and worship the golden image. So profound worship in the midst of adversity. They are not responding and taking a stand for their God because it's a comfortable thing to do. They're not taking a stand and worshiping only the God of heaven because of the fact that it is convenient or acceptable, but rather they are taking a stand in the midst of adversity because it already has been stated that if you refuse to bow down to this golden image, then your life will be ended by being thrown into the fiery furnace. So profound worship in the midst of adversity. What causes us to cease to worship our God? What causes us to refuse to take a stand for our God? And certainly Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was willing to take a strong stand and make a strong statement of faith in reference to worship. Notice, first of all, that it was a public determination. In our text verse, in verse 18, it says, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king." And so they were not hiding behind closed doors to make a statement of position. It was a public determination. And I think many times we have to be willing to take a stand publicly about who our God is and what we believe and not be cowered into a corner or to hide away. Notice it that the public determination they made was against the public opinion. Back in chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man shall bear the sound of the shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image." Now, publicly, it was a public opinion that what the king declared and the means of worship that he established, that when the music was being played, that everyone was to bow down and worship the image that the king had made. Now listen, nobody refused that. It was a public opinion that, wait a minute, if the king has so declared that, then that is the type of worship that you're going to absorb and exercise in the kingdom. But yet, here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to serve that God. And we're not going to bow down to that image. And so they made a statement against public opinion. It's just interesting to me to see the trends in our society as public opinion changes. I was reading through some of my notes on different messages and looking for quotes and things like that and putting some of my messages together this week. And I thought it was interesting because I came across some notes from 2008. And in 2008, there were several states that passed laws that were on the ballots. The people, the public, passed laws against gay marriage. And but now here we are in 2016, and now it's a law of the land that's legal. Society changes. Opinions change all the time. But what is going to be the position of the believer? What is going to be the response of the Christian? Certainly when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken into Babylon, there was no golden image. Oh, Babylon worshiped false gods. There was false religion there, but they did not have a golden image there forcing people to bow down to it until they were in the land as captives. When that happened, they had to make a decision against public policy or public opinion. And Christian, we are faced every day with the reality that we must make a decision about how we're going to stand and where are we going to stand and when are we going to stand against those things that are corrupt and wicked and against the God that we worship and serve. Public determination. Now Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we have to come to a place where we acknowledge that our service is of the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not the God of this world. So it's against public opinion. Not only that, but it was against false religion. In verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, "There are certain Jews, they come, the leaders come to Nebuchadnezzar, and they inform him, 'There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men,'" may I say, when you take a stand for God, you will be singled out. You're the problem. You know, the Apostle Paul went everywhere preaching. He'd go in and churches were established, and every time he turned around, he was being blamed. You're the problem. And all through scriptures, Elijah was blamed. He was the problem with the problems with Israel because he prophesied and warned and preached against the conditions in Israel. Whenever you take a stand against false religion, you're always going to be singled out. They're the problem. Notice he goes on and says in verse 12, he says, "These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And so their public determination was not only against the public opinion at the day, that time, but it was against the false religions that were in the land and being forced upon the people. Now, folks, you have to realize and you have to be willing to take a stand and say there is only one God and there's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That does not leave any leeway for us to say, okay, well, other religions can get to heaven too. No, either you have truth or you're embracing error, one or the other. In Psalm 119, in verse 104, says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And so the psalmist is crying out, the way we comprehend what is just and right and good is through the precepts of God. And if God says this is error and this is the consequences of being in error, then that's where we stand. We stand with God. We don't stand against God. In Psalm 119 and verse 128 says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So what is right is what God says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the determination of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was there was only one God, that's Jehovah God, the God of Israel, and that was the only God they would serve and the only God they would bow down to. And I'll tell you, as a result of that, they had a real controversy dealing with the people of Babylon and dealing with King Nebuchadnezzar. So their public determination was against public opinion and against false religion. But it was also against the king's dominion. Notice in verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Now they've been accused of refusing to bow down to the image. They have been accused to the king that they will not serve your gods. Nebuchadnezzar comes to them and just simply asks a very simple question. And the question, is it true? And it says, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. So he's reminding them, wait a minute, this worship, this God, this idol that has been established, I'm the one that set that up. And what is he saying? I'm the king. I'm the one who has the authority. I am the one that establishes the way of worship. And you have rejected my authority, my dominion over the Babylonian people. Well, 1 Timothy, I was right. I'm looking in the wrong book. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul gives a charge to young Timothy in verse 13. He says, I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So what is he saying? He is literally saying the only true dominion over all things is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when man's dominion does not fall under the authority of Jesus Christ, we obey God rather than man. And when the man says that you have to bow down and worship false gods, you say, no, I serve the living God. When he says you have to bow down to the golden image, you say, no, I bow down to no one other than my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they made a public determination against the king's dominion. Now you understand they're in a foreign country. They're not in their homeland. You understand, they don't have freedom to travel about as they please to go back and forth. They're in bondage in Babylon. But they are taking a stand against the false religion, the false dominion, and the false opinion that is in the country of Babylon. So they have a public determination. He said, be it known unto thee. And they said, we're not trying to hide this thing. We want you to understand what we're doing. But not just that, but there was a personal dedication they had. They said, be it known unto thee, O king, in our text verse 18, that we will not serve thy gods. That's a personal dedication. They said, literally, they were just laying it out, that wait a minute, we are not going to serve any other gods. And we are dedicated to our God and our God alone. Notice, first of all, what they do. They refuse the mode of worship. In verse 15 of chapter 3 of Daniel, it says, Now if you be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands? What is he saying? He said, this is how we're going to worship. This is what you're going to do when it comes time to worship. When you hear the music, you hear the orchestra, you hear all this music being demonstrated, you're to bow down, and if you don't, you tell me what the God is or who is the God that's going to set you free. And they're going to tell him in a moment, amen. But he's really being pretty arrogant here and sarcastic to all the people, and especially to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you must worship the way I tell you to worship. And I'm afraid the world is dictating to the Christian church about what worship is. And I was doing a little research there and study on the word worship. Word worship is found 102 times in the Bible. The word worship means to bow down, to lay prostrate. It means to show homage or reverence. And nowadays, what we do in Christian churches, supposedly, we have this worst quote-unquote worship, and it's nothing but a rock and roll concert. And I've had people say, yo, you need to come worship with us. That's not worship. It might be entertainment, and it might get you excited, and it might make you happy, but that's not worship. Worship is coming to a place of humility before God, acknowledging that all the expression and all the praise and all the adoration belongs to him and him alone. And so here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego having to deal with this. What they're telling them is worship, and this is the worship when you hear the music, that's when you respond. And they said, we're not going to do it. And Christian, I think it's time for Christians to start getting back to old, good, old-fashioned worship of God that is humbling in the presence of an almighty God that is completely holy and all-powerful, and he deserves our worship and praise, not our going for the sake of being entertained. And so worship. Notice also that when they refused the mode of worship, they were willing to accept the consequence of not worshiping that image. In verse 16 and 17, they said, verse 16, he said, we're not careful to answer thee. In other words, they're saying, we're not going to be disrespectful to you. But if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. In other words, they knew what the consequence was for not going along with public opinion and religion and dominion. They understood when their refusal of this false worship was going to put their lives in danger, and they were willing to accept the consequences of not entering into false worship. Now, what I see oftentimes is too many people are too intimidated that they feel they have to go along with the crowd. I remember years ago, I just thought I didn't share this illustration in the early service, but I remember years ago, we went up to Pennsylvania, several fellows. We had a van full of guys, and we decided we were going to go up and hear this preacher preach, and we were all excited about it, and we took off, went up there, and we went into this. It was a tent meeting type thing, and we went in there, and I mean the music was playing. They were singing, and they were giving invitations. The preaching hasn't started yet. We were there for an hour and a half, never did hear anybody preach. Just singing, oh, you need to come up and get right about this, and you need to come up and get right about that. And they're going on, and all these people are going up and going back and forth and all this, that, and the other, except for me and the guys that were with me. I think there was like 12 or 14 guys. We were all lined up in one pew there, or one row of chairs. And, I mean, it was very obvious what was going on. And finally, the guy that was up there, he said, you know, some of you just need to get with the program. Now, who were they talking to? They were talking to us, because we were the only ones that didn't go up there. And I thought to myself, I said, well, I've had enough of this. I looked at the guys like that, I looked over there, looked at me, and I said, we're out of here. And we went and got in the van, and we came back here. I was so aggravated, I called the preacher up the next day, was up there, and I told him, I said, if that's what you're doing, I don't want no parts of it. I don't want no parts of you. I don't want no parts of this foolishness of trying to emotionally manipulate people to make a decision without even preaching the word of God. That is nothing but entertainment, and it's mind control, and I don't want anything to do with it. But the sad thing is, we're so scared to say something about something like that because right away you'll be singled out. And you'll be like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you go along with things? Well, some people may have to go along with it, but I don't. I can tell you that. And I'm willing to accept the consequences of not being a part of demonic, ungodly, worldly worship. I'm not going to be a part of it. Personal dedication. You have to make that decision for yourself. Notice they faced the anger that was against them in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Man, I've had people get mad at me over the years. And the form of his visage was changed. I mean, his whole countenance changed. I mean, he was so upset. You ever have somebody get so mad at you, their whole countenance changes? And it was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, they were heating it up past the point of where it could really contain the heat and be able to control the situation because of his anger against them. I've had people over the years get mad at me because I won't go along with things. And when we first got saved, we started witnessing to our friends and our family. And my friends used to get mad at me because I didn't drink anymore. Well, what do you mean? Oh, you can't have a beer with us? What's the matter with you? Oh, you think you are? You're judging us. I said, I'm not judging you. I'm not going to drink the devil's drink. That's all. I'm not going to. Now, in 2016, I have Christians getting mad at me because now Christians think it's okay to drink a social drink. Drinking the devil's juice, go ahead. You're worshiping the devil when you drink that stuff. You take a stand on social issues. You take a stand on moral issues. I'm going to tell you, people are going to get angry at you. But the question is this, are you willing to have profound worship of God in the midst of adversity? They weren't going to back down on their position because of the anger of the king. They weren't going to back down on their position because of the aggressiveness of the crowd. They stood with their God. I heard a story. I was doing some research and I came across this story of a young girl, 14-year-old girl, Muslim girl, in Uganda, who trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And a missionary had come to the school where she was going and preached Christ, the way of salvation through Christ, and she believed on Christ and she was gloriously saved. The problem was when she went home, her father, being a Muslim, was not happy that she got saved. And when she went back home, her father, after several days and weeks of telling her that she was to turn away from Christ and she was not to go to church, she continued to go to church, literally took her outside with her brother and had a knife and put a knife to her throat and told her, he said, if you do not recant and turn your back on Jesus Christ, I'm going to kill you and your brother. And she said, I can't do it. I will not renounce my Savior, Jesus Christ. And so out of frustration and anger, he took her in and put her into a room in his house. With nothing in there, he put a mat down on the floor. And he told her, he said, you're to sit on that mat until you decide to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he went out and he closed the door and locked the door. And for 3 months, he never saw his daughter. For 3 months, she sat in that room. They say that after 3 months, the authorities started, people, neighbors started asking where she was at because they hadn't seen her for 3 months. And they started asking about her. And when they contacted, they said something to her brother. Her brother told the authorities where she was and they went in there to get her out. She was barely alive. The only reason why she stayed alive was because when her father wasn't in the house, her brother would dig underneath the door and push some food underneath to her so she could have something to eat. She said the only way that she had any water, he would pour water in the hole that he dug underneath the door and she would lap it up to be able to get a little water to drink. For 3 months, she was like that on that mat. She never left that mat. And after the authorities came and they delivered her out of that situation, they asked her, why wouldn't you leave that mat? You could have had your brother get authority, get us to come over here. And so we did it. And she said this, that she would not leave that mat, because she said this, I cannot leave Jesus. Her father had told her, you leave that mat. When you leave that mat, you're acknowledging you're rejecting Christ. And she said, I cannot leave Jesus. I decided not to leave him because he has given me life eternal, and even if I died there, I was sure that I would go to be with him. Now, what kind of dedication do you have this morning? What kind of personal dedication do we have? What kind of suffering do we have for Christ? What kind of decisions do we make to fit in with the crowd, to go along with the trends, just because of the fact that we don't want to be singled out, or we don't want to be pushed off to the side? We don't want to have to face the consequences of standing alone with God. There's a young girl put her life on the line because she refused to reject Jesus Christ as our Savior. The public determination, personal dedication, then I see pure adoration that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. In our text verses, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They had adoration of their God and not adoration of a false image or idol. Notice it was a response based on the enduring presence of God. In verse 23 of chapter 3, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That's an, even if you have to be thrown into the fiery furnace, God will be with you there. If you have to be someone who is bound, as it were, this young girl, willfully sitting alone for 3 months on a mat, her God was with her in that room. Daniel would be thrown into the lion's den, and God didn't take him out of the lion's den or prevent him from going to the lion's den, but God closed the mouth of the lions. Because no matter where you are, no matter what you do, God has already promised. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we have a pure adoration of our God based on the fact of the enduring presence of God. You and God are a majority in this world. You and God make up a relationship where you are never alone in this world. So you stand with God and God alone. Enduring presence of God. There's the abounding power of God. In verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you imagine throwing somebody in a furnace and then walk up to the furnace and see them walk around there and start talking to them? Hey, come out of there. Ye servants of the Most High God. Let me tell you something. He wasn't calling that before he threw them in, but once he saw them there with their God in the presence with them, he's identifying them the right way. Ye servants of the living God, Most High God. Come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the prince, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I mean, they're in the furnace, and they didn't even come out smelling like smoke. I mean, God can protect. God's power is able. God is able to do abundantly above and beyond whatever we could ever begin to ask or think. And don't think for one moment, if you stand with God, that you're going to be alone with no power. Because God can do things beyond our abilities that we have no knowledge or understanding how. I'll guarantee you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood that if God wanted to deliver them, that he would deliver them. But they did not know when they were going to be thrown in that Jesus would be walking with them in that furnace.
Nor did they know when they would go in that furnace, they would come out on the other side with not even a stench of smoke on their bodies, because God had so protected and power watched over them. Well, there's continuing praise. When we have pure adoration of the living God, it creates a spirit of continual praise. In verse 28, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. It would be nice if we were able to live a Christian life so strong, so powerful, that literally the world would look at us and say, you know what? We've got to worship the God they worship. Their God is the God that's true. Their God is the God that is doing something. And then verse 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amidst against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. There was a continual praise that was offered up because of all that God did on their behalf. I'm going to tell you right now, America's in trouble, but this election cycle is not going to solve our problems. The only thing that's going to solve the problems in America is Jesus Christ. The only answer for the situations that we are facing and have to deal with is the fact that our people, your people in America, need to see that God is real, and they need to have faith in that God, and we need to stand in a way that, wait a minute, even the heathen would say, don't you speak against that Christian's God. Because they see God moving in such a powerful way, it instills fear in them, because God can take you through the burning fiery furnace. Pure adoration of God. You know, Joseph came to a place where he made a decision that even when he was in Egypt, that he was going to worship his God. Moses would come to a place where he would give his life to his God, and God would use him to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. Joshua would make a statement that as for he and his house, he would serve the Lord, and he would lead the people of God into Canaan, and the walls of Jericho would have to fall as they would stand before that mighty city. I'm just saying this, God deserves our worship and our praise, irregardless of things are going hard, things going easy, whatever it is, he deserves our praise because he is able to deliver. And so here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and verse 18, our text. Be it known unto thee, O king, I want you to understand, king, I want you to be aware of this, that we will not serve thy gods. And people need to know that we as Christians refuse the gods of this world. We refuse to be sucked in to the patterns of entertainment and compromise and immorality that's in this world. We refuse nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Doesn't matter what the world establishes, I ain't bowing to it. Doesn't matter what comes down the pike or what dangers may be there. With God, you are victors. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And over again, we read through the word of God and we see the demonstration of that very statement. Great statements of faith. Profound worship. We need to worship the Lord. What stops you from worshiping God? What stops you from coming to church to worship the Lord? Is it company stops over? Is it a birthday party? Is it, I'm tired because I worked a lot of hours this week? Is it, I was out late last Saturday night because I was out with some friends partying. What stops us? When you see all the willingness to sacrifice everything for God in the Word of God, and you read the testimonies of people who are willing to sacrifice even their life for God, what in the world is wrong with us? Why can't we come to a place of profound worship of God in light of whatever's going on in our life? So little things, so many just little things, robs us of the joy and excitement and willingness to worship the living God of heaven. I don't know about you, but I want God to help me not to turn my back on him, because I know he won't turn on me.
And I want to continue to worship him and exalt him no matter what is going on. Good times, bad times, blessed times, unforgiven times, whatever it is going on, health-wise. You know, it's interesting to me. Preachers, there's different health, wealth, and prosperity preachers. You know, they tell you if you're a Christian, you're always going to have money. You're always going to be healthy. You're going to, you know what? That's not true at all. It's not true at all. You're going to have problems and difficulties just like everybody else does. But the difference is we serve the God of heaven, and because we serve him, his grace is sufficient, and we can continue to worship him no matter what it is that we're facing. Financial, physical, whatever, we can worship the living God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Help us to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not be unnerved or moved because of the situations and controversies of life. But Lord, may we stand firm with our God, realizing that we truly are victors through faith in Christ. We have the hope of heaven. We have the assurance that God is real. We understand that there's absolutely only one way to be right with the living God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful and true. Help us to be surrendered each day. I pray if there's someone here this morning who's never been saved, may they realize, Lord, that without Jesus, they have no hope. Will you touch them, Lord, and bring them to a place of decision that we might be able to take the Bible and show them how to be saved this morning. We love you, Lord. We appreciate your blessings. Continue to speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.